Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson.
Welcome to a special holiday travel. It's beginning to look a lot like a police state edition of Talk Nation Radio. Our guest is Lisa Simeone. She is a writer and a radio host. She has hosted NPR's All Things Considered and Weekend Edition and other programs, and incidentally was fired by a company called Soundprint and blacklisted by NPR from that point to this for participating in the Occupy movement. But Lisa is our guest today because she is a blogger at tsanewsblog.com. Lisa Simeone, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, David.
I just have to comment, I'm not sure all things ever were considered on All Things Considered.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
If people go to tsanewsblog.com, they can see great reporting by you and your colleagues. The latest article, as I'm speaking, is about what you call a propaganda cartoon.
Yes, it's a little cartoon video aimed at children, and it's from a special page on the DHS, Department of Homeland Security website, called TSA Kids, that has all these bright colors, and it's a little, about 4 or 5 minute video that shows a little dog family, you know, cartoon character dog family, going through the checkpoint at the airport, being very happy and smiling and being treated well, and the magic words are stop, screen, go. But if you just walk up to a checkpoint and you stop, and you get screened, then you can go, and showing how wonderful and charming and benign and innocent the whole process is. So it's a clear propaganda film, and of course, propaganda has been directed at children throughout the 20th century. All countries have done this, especially when they go to war, they direct specific messages towards children as well as adults. I think this is a particularly odious one because it's a flat-out lie, just like 90% of what the TSA tells us is a flat-out lie. It's not as simple as just stop, screen, and go. As thousands of people can attest, and thousands of children who've been pawed and groped and inappropriately touched by TSA agents can also tell. So I find this particularly disgusting that they have this cartoon up. But that's, you know, that's par for the course, because I think the entire agency is an out-of-control agency. I think it's performing criminal pat-downs on people. I don't even use the term pat-down. I usually just call them grope, because that's what they are. And this agency is so totally out of control, and Congress, of course, has so far been unwilling to rein them in. And this is the big problem. I don't think anything is going to change until more people stand up and stomp and demand that it be changed, and until the worthless wankers in Congress do something about this agency. And the man at the top of the agency, whose name is John Pistol, he's the TSA administrator. He's the one who implemented what I call the reign of molestation. He's the one who started these mandatory gropes and the forcing of people into these scanners, these nude body scanners. That started under John Pistol, and it started in 2010. And people should remember that that's the Obama administration. So I don't want to hear progressives, self-styled progressives, claiming, oh, this is all George Bush's fault, because that's when 9/11 happened, and all of this came after George Bush. Yes, all the hysteria began right after 9/11, but it's been continued and expanded under the Obama administration. So people need to get their chronology straight and know that John Pistol and the reign of molestation came in under the Obama administration.
This and every other area people might look into, whether the war on Afghanistan is larger or smaller during the past 5 years of ending it.
The
lovely little dog family in the cartoon also is in a completely deserted airport, whereas the primary function of the TSA in reality seems to be to make you hurry up and wait in endlessly long lines. But I think what disturbs me the most is that if you have ever met an actual human child, they would ask why. They would ask what for. They would ask what is the point. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, we're supposed to learn that if we smile and be happy and enjoy the TSA screening process, there's no need to ask what is the point. Whereas, you know, we're supposed to take it very, very seriously, never tell jokes, and accept that each and every one of us, including our kids, are being treated as potential mass murderers. How have people managed to accept that?
Well, it's this hysteria which has been ginned up by industries that are making huge profits off of the scanner machines, for one thing. I mean, that's billions of dollars have poured into the pockets of these security manufacturers and the security industry. So that's, I mean, of course, that's the case with war, as you know. These things are always have some money behind them, follow the money trail. But this hysteria, leaving aside the money for a moment, this hysteria is very profitable psychologically and intellectually for the government. It's an easy way to keep control over people. This is another thing that's been true throughout history for all sorts of governments, no matter what kind of government, no matter what the country. If you keep people in a state of fear, if you hype that, it's much easier to get them to do what you want them to do. It's much easier to get them to acquiesce to every new procedure that comes down the pike, no matter how abusive it might be, no matter how just plain stupid or boneheaded it might be, no matter how nonsensical it might be. If people are afraid, they're looking, most people, not all human beings, but most, unfortunately, when they're afraid, they're looking for someone to give them the answer, to protect them, to save them from whatever the boogeyman du jour is. And for us, since 9/11, the boogeyman du jour is Al-Qaeda, or it's Osama bin Laden, but now that he's dead, that we have the generalized Al-Qaeda, or the generalized terrorism, you know, the terrorists. Oh, the terrorists are hiding around every corner. Oh, there's a terrorist just waiting to blow up your plane. This has been deliberately, this hysteria has been deliberately manufactured by the government and, again, by the people making money off of this hysteria. In fact, if you read, to do the TSA News blog posts that I do, I often read publications by the security industry. I mean, there's a lot of different companies, Smith, L3, American Science and Engineering, Northrop Grumman. There are a lot of them. But they, when you could learn the most is when they talk to each other or they publish their little magazines and papers. And the idea of terror is they're actually gleeful about it. I mean, I've quoted them at times where they sound like they're positively gleeful that terror is in the air because they know that they're going to make more money that way. The mere fact that people in this country now think it's normal that when you go to an airport, you could be groped, you could have your genitals pawed by some flunky. The mere fact that people think that that's okay shows the depth of paranoia and irrationality and hysteria in the population. And incidentally, under the Bush administration, these scanners, they already existed because they were being used by Customs and Border Protection. So there was a push to get them into airports after 9/11. The Bush administration said, when they looked at the images that the scanners create, which are nude, they are thoroughly naked, and the radiation that was emitted by the backscatter scanners was higher than was reported. When the Bush administration looked at these images, they said, there's no way we can foist this on the public because people aren't going to put up with it. So we're not doing it. So they didn't do it under the Bush administration, but then the Obama administration comes along, and suddenly, you know, we have the so-called underwear bomber who couldn't have brought down a plane if his life depended on it. I mean, he was a seriously mentally disturbed man. He could no way have blown up a plane. But, you know, that was used as the excuse to bring the scanners in. So, again, it's preying on people's fear and irrationality. And unfortunately, I've found, just in my experience writing about this for years, what actual research has found as well is that facts don't matter. For most arguments, unfortunately, you can put fact upon fact upon irrefutable fact out there. It doesn't sway people. It doesn't change their opinion because they're more likely to be swayed by their emotions. And so this is an uphill battle as far as I'm concerned. I mean, uphill in a major way. I don't think this is going to change in my lifetime. And I've spent years throwing facts out there. And people can look up the sources. They can go straight to the horse's mouth. They can see that they're far less likely to be killed in a terrorist attack than be struck by lightning or they have a better chance of winning the lottery. This is fact. But people don't care. They don't care about the facts. They want to pretend that the TSA is doing something so that they can, quote-unquote, feel safe. It's about the feeling. It's about this emotion. It's not about actually being safe. And what you mentioned, David, about massing all these people at the checkpoint before they even go through security, but having these long lines that take forever. We saw the result of that with the shooter in L.A., Paul Ciancia, I guess they pronounce his name. He went in there with his gun, and he was aiming for TSA agents. But what if he had been aiming just at the general public? You've got people masked like sardines in a can at the checkpoint. It's a disaster waiting to happen. It's an easy target for anyone. Why do people think that a quote-unquote terrorist would only go onto a plane to blow it up? Why do they think that couldn't happen right there in the concourse, in the line where you're standing there waiting to get on the plane? It happened in Moscow's Domodedovo Airport. that already happened. Somebody detonated a bomb and blew himself and other people up. Why couldn't it happen in an American airport? But again, you tell this to people, and they don't want to think about it. They're just going to bow down and do whatever the TSA says under this fiction that the TSA is protecting them from anything. And I think the physical pawing, if people are not upset about the fact that they themselves, and especially their children, are being inappropriately touched, you know, we've crossed the Rubicon. If people did not rise up and revolt against that, I don't see how they're going to do it in the future. I mean, I really don't. Not unless every single congressperson and his or her family members are groped. That's the only way anything would change. And, you know, that's just going to take years. Because there have been some of them who have been groped already, but not enough of them. Need a lot more of that to happen. So I really don't hold much hope, but I still, you know, I want to fight the good fight. So I still write about it, and I still do research on it, but it just looks like a losing battle.
Lisa Simeone from TSANewsBlog.com. So without a doubt, those who are continuing to fly are in most cases being subjected to a choice between these scanners where you must stand in a particular position and be seen naked and so forth, or being groped. Probably both violations of Fourth Amendment. But there's been a lot of news when these scanners were first created about them giving you cancer. And then there's been a lot of news about how they fixed that and they don't give you cancer anymore. What are the facts
there?
Well,
here's the thing about the scanners. There are two types of body scanners. One is called backscatter. Those are the X-ray scanners that do use radiation. Backscatter scanners. And then there's MMW or millimeter wave scanners like you have in your microwave oven. So, I mean, that's the same kind of energy. So two types of scanners. The backscatter scanners indeed emit radiation. They were manufactured by Rapiscan. That was the company that Michael Chertoff had a stake in, and he was a spokesman for. So right after he left the government, he started pushing these backscatter scanners. And those have been pulled from the airport. They were in use for years, but they were all pulled from airports this summer because, in fact, none of them had ever been independently tested. When the TSA puts out this information, which is a flat-out lie, that the scanners had been independently tested, no, they have not been. And the NIST and the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab both said, sorry, NIST is the National Institute for Standards and Technology, but both said that they had not been given a TSA backscatter scanner to test. So the TSA was simply lying to people and saying, oh, this gives you less radiation than flying in an airplane. We don't know how much radiation is emitted because nobody was ever allowed to test them. So they removed those just this past summer from the airports and replaced them with millimeter wave scanners. Now, the millimeter wave scanners do not emit X-ray radiation. However, they too have not been independently tested. So we don't know what they're doing to your body, if they're frying your DNA or what. And frankly, to me, that's a red herring. To me, even if they had a scanner that was 100% safe, you know, from A to Z, to me, it is still it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, and I will never stand in a scanner with my hands on the air like a perp, like a criminal, to let somebody zap me or take pictures of me. The whole point of the scanners is to compel obedience, to compel acquiescence. If you're willing to stand up in a scanner and be treated like a criminal, you're saying metaphorically to the government, you can do whatever you want with me, and I'll acquiesce. That's the point. And I want to emphasize, too, people think that it's somehow that if you go through the scanner, if you acquiesce to the scanner, therefore you won't get a pat-down. That it's false, and the TSA itself will tell you that in one of their rare moments of truthfulness. Going through the scanner does not necessarily obviate a grope. The two are not mutually exclusive. It is up to TSA employees' whims whether or not they will grope you. And if you go to the scanner and if you acquiesce and stand up there and they detect, quote-unquote, an anomaly, whatever the hell that means, because they make up what it means. You know, if you left a ponytail holder in your pocket, and I'm not kidding, or a Kleenex, that could be detected as an anomaly. If you do that, you could still get a pat-down, an abusive pat-down. So it's not a choice of going through the scanner or getting a pat-down. The two are not mutually exclusive. And again, I emphasize that I believe this is to compel obedience. It's to get people used to acquiescing to things they shouldn't acquiesce to. And even though what they will tell you, this is a sidebar, but even though they'll tell you, oh, we're not storing images, we're not actually taking a nude image of your body, that also is a lie, because in the spec that went out to the contractors to create, to manufacture these scanners, the actual specs say that the scanners must have the ability to store and transmit images. Because let's just say something happened one day, and they had to go back and, you know, through their voluminous films of scans of people to find out if somebody was actually carrying something onto the plane. They have to have actual images. So those nude images are indeed being stored. Whether or not you care about that, that's a whole other subject. A lot of people don't, you know, give a crap that they're nude body. That's fine. It's up to you. I don't care. But people should know that these images are not the Gumby stick figure that you're seeing on the screen. There are actual images being taken, and yes, they are being stored. So that's just a little sidebar about the scanners.
Lisa, I've gone through those scanners and stood in the proper position like a criminal and walked out the other side and had a man come up to me, a TSA agent, in all solemnity, and say, I must pat down your shoulder, and there being nothing on my shoulder other than my shirt. You know, and so they're very serious about this stuff, but it seems laughable. I've done the full body grope and had a big wad of keys on a keychain in my shirt pocket on the front of my chest, and had it be missed, and then had it fall out when I bent over to put my shoes back on, and the TSA agent, quite ashamed of himself and outraged in his great seriousness at finding everything. The fact is it not, that all of this, while they could claim it might have discouraged something, has yet to detect a single terrorist anywhere.
That's right. In fact, the TSO spokesman, this was 2 years ago, admitted that there had not been a single terrorist attempt thwarted or a terrorist found since the TSO initiated the scope and grope. They've done nothing. It's all a dog and pony show. Apologies to dogs and ponies everywhere. But it's all it's all security theater, to use Bruce Schneier's term. He's the one who coined that. He's a security expert. It is security theater, and it's to give the illusion that something is being done. You know, something must be done. Therefore, we will do something. Even if something is idiotic or stupid or downright abusive, something must be done. So they have this pretend show that something's being done, that, oh, everybody is really potentially a terrorist, and so we're checking everybody, when they miss things all the time. There are these things called red teams. Different government agencies have them. So you have a red team. I'm sure corporations have them, too. You have a team who tries to test your limitations or just to find out where the flaws or the weak spots are in your organization. So red teams will go out and test the system. And with the TSA, the red teams came back and reported an appalling lack of effectiveness, an appalling rate of failure. I think it was up to 80%. I don't have the figure right in front of me now. But the red teams reported that most of the time, the TSA at various airports around the country missed the very things they're supposed to be finding, like guns and knives, you know, stuff that you can actually use as a weapon. That they have an abysmal record for this. And speaking of guns and knives, because people are freaking out about that too, the TSA blog, which is hilarious, it's a hilarious, in a black humor kind of way, hilarious repository of misinformation and propaganda. The TSA blog itself, the government's blog, every week has accounts of confiscated items. And they have pictures of guns and brass knuckles and, you know, inert grenades and all kinds of stuff. I would urge people to remember that these things are made out of metal. And metal is detected by the metal detectors, not by the scanners. Metal is detected by metal detectors. So these things were found before 9/11, after 9/11, not by the scanners, but by metal detectors. And the things that have kept us safe since 9/11 are two things, and only two things, neither one of which is the TSA. The things that have kept us safer in the sky are that the cockpit doors have been secured, so you can't take over the cockpit, and that passengers will no longer silently submit to a hijacking attempt. That means minutes after 9/11 happened, minutes after the last plane crashed, what changed was that cockpit doors were secured and passengers decided they were going to fight back. That's the only thing that's made a difference, because if somebody's really determined to detonate a bomb, as I said, they could just walk into the concourse and stand there in the line where everybody's waiting and blow themselves up there. So it is sheer farce to say that the TSA has kept us safe. All it is, again, it's security theater. It's to make people believe that something's being done. And, oh, God, it's pathetic, because it's just compelling obedience. And people should also know, by the way, David, that there are these things called Viper, V-I-P-R, Visible Intermodal, I forget what the PR is now. Preparedness and Response Team, V-I-P-R. Viper teams are TSA agents who go out into other public transportation, not just airports, buses, train stations, subways, highways. They go out and just decide to have random searches of people. Now, this is all clearly against the Fourth Amendment, but this creep is going along, this mission creep, because I believe people have shown they're willing to put up with it. If they're willing to put up with this crap at the airport, they're willing to put up with it everywhere else. So some super idiot comes, you know, in a uniform, in a fake police uniform, comes to you and says, you know, I'm going to search you before you get on this bus. You still have the right to say no, and you should say no. You should refuse. But people are not refusing. They're putting up with it. So this mission creep, unfortunately, is just going to get worse.
You know, the list of hypocrisies that suggest that it is indeed all theater is rather long, the junk science and the micro expressions and the eye movements and so forth. But there's something that you've been blogging about called pre-checking people that pulls this right out as well. Explain what it is to be a pre-checked person.
Right. Pre-check is something we've been writing about for over 2 years now, even though a lot of the media is just catching on. And you see articles all the time in the paper touting pre-check, sign up for pre-check. Pre-check is a program by which you pay $85 to the TSA to be fingerprinted, background checked, iris scan, all this stuff. You pay an $85 in order to possibly not be treated like a criminal at the airport. People think pre-check is a guarantee. It is not. And the TSA says so on its own website. No individual will be guaranteed expedited screening. No one, even if you sign up for pre-check. What they say is, oh, if you sign up for pre-check and you pass, then you don't have to take your shoes off, you don't have to take your coat off, you don't have to take your laptop out, you won't get scanned or groped. This is false. It is false. It is a lie. Just because you sign up for pre-check does not mean that those things will not happen to you. They might not. You might breeze through, or you might not, as thousands of people who've been writing in to us have told us. They say, I'm in pre-check, and I've gone through, you know, 20 times now to through the airport, and they never put me in the pre-check line, and I have to go through with the hoi polloi anyway. So first of all, pre-check does not work as advertised. It's an extortion racket. You'd get better results with the mafia because at least they'll give you something for your protection money. But also, I think it's ethically indefensible. I think pre-check is the embodiment of all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. I think it is a divide and conquer tactic. I think it's outrageous that people who are in pre-check think it's okay that they might get to pass through the pre-check line and let all the great unwashed get abused. You know, that's okay. Let those people get abused as long as I don't. As long as I don't have to take my coat off, as long as I don't have to take my shoes off, what do I care what happens with these other people? So I think it is thoroughly obnoxious, and it makes me sick that people think this is an answer. But as they're finding, and as they'll certainly find during the holidays, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because when the lines get very crowded, the TSA agents start shunting people who are not pre-checked. They start shunting them to the pre-check lines because the pre-check lines are moving a little faster, thus proving that pre-check doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. If these people have supposedly been vetted to show that they aren't big, scary terrorists and been given pre-check status, and then you go and you find that the lines are so crowded, so the TSA says, that's okay, folks, David and Lisa and everybody, you can go through the pre-check line even though you're not pre-checked, that proves that pre-check is a farce. I mean, that proves it. But like I say, when did facts matter?
I have been through that experience myself and can testify to it, and it is nonsensical. We have very few minutes left. I wonder what advice you give to people outside of lobbying their so-called representatives. Should you not fly, which is also, of course, good for the natural environment and the possible preservation of our species and others? Or should you slow things down by demanding a pat-down? Should you shout the Fourth Amendment out loud over and over again as you go through this theater? What is it that people should do?
All of the above, I would say. Personally, I have stopped flying in or from this country, and I used to travel a lot. I love travel, and it was a sacrifice for me, but I decided that the principle is more important than my personal desires. If people boycotted the airlines, I mean people who are not forced to fly, let me make that clear. Some people are forced to fly. They're between a rock and a hard place. They have to fly for their job. But that's not the majority of people in this country who are flying. Most people are flying for discretionary reasons. So if you don't have to fly for a medical reason or because your job requires it, if you stop flying, you could bring the, we would bring the airlines to their knees in 4 to 6 weeks. That's it. And then things would change because the airlines are complicit, and we don't have time to talk about that, but they are complicit. So you could stop flying. If you don't want to do that, as you said, David, slow down the line. Really slow down the line. Of course, this is going to piss off people behind you, but again, people need to care, need to give a crap about their rights and not worry about other people getting pissed off. You should refuse to go through the scanner. You should, that in itself is a small act of resistance. Refuse to go through it. Refuse to stand there and to cooperate with the government. Don't do it. There are all kinds of ways to resist. There's not just one way, and I'm sure other people can think of other ways. And yes, by all means, keep lobbying your congressional reps, even though they've been worthless so far, but keep doing it. And just you have to resist. Otherwise, I'm telling you, these people are going to be standing outside your door one of these days saying that before you leave your house, you have to be subjected to a search.
You know, some of us are in favor of labor unions as a general rule when they aren't working for for-profit prisons and pushing for more prisoners, when they aren't manufacturing weapons of mass destruction, when they aren't violating our rights. What about this criticism that if you criticize the TSA, you have been manipulated into union bashing, despite the fact that they're making self-scanners so we can do away with the employees?
Well, this is just nonsense, and it's a knee-jerk response. And I say this as a union member and a proud union member of AFTRA-SAG. I've been a union member for many, many years. Okay, that doesn't mean that all unions do the right things all the time. And certainly the TSA, the fact that they're unionized now, it's going to make it very hard to get rid of them. That is a big problem. So this is just an idiotic, knee-jerk response to say, oh, if you criticize the TSA, you're criticizing unions. In this case, yeah, I am criticizing the unions. I'm criticizing the TSA union, the American Federation of whatever it's called. They've got, you know, they joined the government union. I think it's going to make it much harder to get rid of them. So that's my answer to that.
Is there, we have about a minute left, is there a recipe for making us safe through foreign policy that would look quite different from making ourselves safe through technology?
Exactly. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Maybe if we weren't going around the world drone bombing civilians left and right, fewer people would hate us. You know, this idiotic question, why do they hate us? Well, because the U.S. is going around murdering people. And we've handed the terrorists, so-called, the terrorists, ourselves on a platter. Because what they wanted to do was not kill as many people as possible. They explicitly stated what they wanted us to do was to terrorize ourselves. They said, all we have to do is just the mere threat. And the U.S. will start spending billions and billions of dollars and bankrupt itself. This is explicitly stated in the magazine called Inspire, which is published by Al-Qaeda. And they were right. They were right. It's like they didn't have to terrorize us. We've done it to ourselves.
And with that, we say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And let's not have a war on anything. And do away with secrecy and do away with these abusive agencies. And go read TSANewsBlog.com on a regular basis. Lisa Simeone, thank you very, very much for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
I'm glad to do it, David. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.